somewhere on Mayfair pavement, amongst a flock of drones, a jelly-necked vagrant lay dead on polystyrene, dressed in shadows from Versace and copper that flicked. His Labrador licked him, changing from gold to blue, barking and biting at the neon reapers who took his master away, muddling his grief. Embedded in the vagrant's palm was a medal from King George. The pauper box is claimed. Let's just bury him. Shrapnel for our conscience. And I'm late for my meeting.
Thanks, Billy. And next to the chorus, Alan Kirby.
I watched the frost cry for sunrise, jeweling the source of soil. Dawn gave birth to death, and a choir of corpus rejoiced on steel joints by granite plateau. Dawn dances in white gown, on empty graves dressed in nettles. The wind has come to mourn. The sun has risen to fall, and like the crown of winter's queen, all that lives is all that green. My great uncle speaks here, shot for cowardice in 1917. He held his friend's cranium, then held his friend, took his wedding ring for safekeeping, and hitched a ride to Esberg. He left Esberg a soldier of the king, arrived in Harwich a traitor, and lived to complete his vow, and arrived at Ethel's demand. William told me to tell you goodbye, and gave her a pressed pistol. Ethel remarried and had 12 children. My uncle was captured in his 20th year, tied to a fence with a blindfold, bidding abide with me before he was shot by 6 children. Every epithet tells a story, and my uncle stole off the dawn. His name was Francis Evans, fiancé of Margaret, father of her miscarriage, and coward revoked 80 years later by a fat mare in Warwick. Thank you.
Mr. Doyle Harding.
I think we're honored tonight to have Mr. Jim Carr, Deputy Lord Mayor. There have been many Lord Mayor over the years who haven't had the ability to write their names. This man has written lots of major papers on important issues over his long political career, and he's an exception Lord Mayor or Deputy Lord Mayor. This is called Cigarette Starlet by Tony Owen. She was my nettle. She was my nettle, my dockley, my dinner break pause on the swings and slides, my mass past interruption and every sunset shadow. She was a veil of grey velvet, the warmth and blood, calm, storm, cigarette starlet. Now we are miserable, happy heads of a Roman statue, decapitated, staring.
Mr. Gerald Sweeney.
Assigned to read this, which may have agreed. It's called Porcelain. You left our bed a cot, just me in a throat-heavy quilt that I would throw off in favor of your thighs. We once curled like wicks, blowing together until you flickered. Your shadow burned on the wood chip, meshed against the oak outside. You held me when no arms would. Paper flesh veined with blue, bones fine as porcelain, a fraught fragility streaked with salt. For a time we sipped champagne from teacups, at breakfast every morning, adding the pearled freshness and fizz to the steady warmth around our hearts. I hear you cry from the north through the sill, a wailing font right to your heart. I breathe on the window to mock myself, watching my mouth sew the colour of your flesh. And I hold myself as you held me, and the man you loved cracks like porcelain, changeling who hates you for leaving, and talks to the air about his love. I whisper on the wind the tale of my love, place hands on the window to reach towards you, see your breath grow behind the pen as the world smashes into pie.
Thanks, Joe. And Bree Buckley.
Room 17, Ashford Hospital. Her cold marble hands left my grasp, and the changeling appeared, shrieking, "Cunt, cunt." Christine orderlies arrived, her eyes darkened to honest, crying for her mummy as she combed herself, leaving smells of Carl's skirt. The basis, she spoke my name, surrounded by snapshots of bygone holidays, where she covered my shoulders from the sun, looking like a woman and not like a ghost haunted by this life before her. I leave her with something new from old times, hoping she'll remember, knowing she won't. I kiss her sanguine cheek, whispering I love her. She pushes me away, smiling, with tears bright in her eyes.
I agree. Tony actually read this one to me on his first night in Cork, or his second night in Cork, when we were out on the town, as it were. It's meant to be done in a Dublin accent, so I don't know what I should have given this one to Joe to do, but anyway. I'm not going to try the accent, right? But it's called The Watch and the Hiding. When I were a lad, Dad bought me a watch, heavy as a guilty throat. I wore them both that day, with a keen wrist and backhand, for I lost it on the dunes doing gambles out of earshot. I was Ma's angel, but me dad's devil. When I said I lost the watch, me dad shouted, "Jesus," and I screamed, "Jesus," followed by Ma. Jesus came in a buckle. Me Ma came upstairs pleading for the leather, but Da replied in spittle and steel and seven lashes with his sister's age added for an example. This went on till 40 years later, Jesus took me down and I buried him in my wife's face, beating her for searching my devils. So what am I? My wife says nothing, but I am her silence, and that is that.